This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Direct from the action in Finland, we're bringing you all the news, insights, reactions, insider tips, and much, much more from the IIHF World Championship. The best 30 minutes of your day start now.
This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show, day four of the IIHF World Championship. We were in for a treat yesterday at Nokia Arena in Tampere with two of three games that went into overtime, one coming down to a shootout. We'll dive deep into these games in a bit. I'm Marav Sevier, here with Mike Johnson and Reagan Rust. Have you guys recovered not just from yesterday? We had two back-to-back days, six games every day. Are you guys alive? You with us?
Hanging by a thread, guys. Hanging by a thread. Yes. I tell you what, not for me, but you know, we're broadcasting the games. But for the play-by-play guy, my partner, Gord Miller, like, to have to do three games in a day is a challenge. I don't have to do anything, and I'm tired watching him. So, yeah, it's a full, busy slate this first weekend. It always is. But now we settle in, regular rhythm, couple games a day, just kind of churn them out. The kind of meat of the tournament starts today. So, yeah, I'm glad we're through the first weekend. It was busy. I look more tired than Reagan.
That is true. Everyone usually does. Everyone usually looks more tired than me. So that's okay. Yeah, I'm doing pretty phenomenal. I'm not going to lie. I'm happy to be here. I love watching hockey. You're just living life right now. This is probably the best thing ever. You know, I just get to watch hockey all day. Who would be upset about that?
Well, Reagan, let's get right into your moment of the day yesterday. It comes from one of those overtime games, specifically USA versus Austria.
Yes, what a good game by Austria. They really played hard from the jump. Literally, they jumped right into it. And I was so impressed. There was one of the goals. It was assisted by Marco Kasper. And he just has so much confidence. He loves to make decisions himself. He loves to have confidence in himself and his ability to make plays. It's unbelievable. He really sees the ice well. And he was coming down the sideboards on the left side, froze a winger on the blue, then made a defenseman drop down to his stomach, went around half the net and decided to pass it back short side. And it was just easy tip and goal.
It was getting everyone's attention in the media room. I was like, oh, who was that? What was that?
Yeah.
So that was pretty nasty. It was nice. It was nice.
And, you know, and his teammate David Kickert talked about his progress after the game. Listen to this.
I mean, I haven't seen him play a lot, but what I've seen of him now, it's pretty remarkable. He scored on me a couple times in practice, and yeah, so he's pretty good.
So he's not just doing it on the ice, but he's also giving them a tough time in practice.
It's a good compliment from your starter. Gives you trouble in practice. But you know what the best part about it is that he's so young and he's fearless. Like, he's just... no problem trying any moves, going on anyone, through the legs, whatever it might take to create something. That is the young player mentality. It's great.
Yeah, Mike, you talked about this yesterday also when it comes to the young player, the fact that they have this fearless mentality that not many people have at 18 years old that allows them to come out and do this on such a big stage.
I don't know if it's like sports psychology trading. I sometimes call it the Tiger Woods effect, where, like, you know, guys show up and say, I'm not deferring. I'm not going to be scared. I can respect everybody, but I'm not going to lay over and let you control how I feel about my game. And they've been empowered by their coaches to play freely. Back in the day, maybe Ray can appreciate this. Like, sometimes coaches would take young players and say, you haven't earned the right to play like that or to try that or to think like that. That's not how the game is anymore. And that's a major bit of progression that hockey needs.
Mike, what was your moment from yesterday?
My moment was, for about 25 minutes, the impossible seemed possible. And Italy going up against Canada, and it's obviously a difficult matchup for Italy. But Italy, the first 10 minutes of the game, they were right there. They were creating some chances. They weren't getting dominated. And won't you know, Pietro Nero scores the first goal of the game for Italy, and it sent reverberations around the arena where everyone's like, could this be? Because you never quite know. It was just like a little moment in time, and the Italian bench celebrating wholeheartedly, deservedly, and you could just kind of feel like the pride and the possibility of the moment. And it didn't last forever. Canada eventually took over the game, but for those 10-15 minutes, it was great.
And we'll get more into that game a little bit later. Also, the Austria versus the USA game. But first, guys, pardon me, but I have to start with Great Britain's comeback in the third period of their game. They were down 3-0 before Robert Dowd scored their first goal. And two more goals came within 4 minutes. We got our first overtime and shootout of the tournament. This was quite the game to watch and quite the period to watch.
Unbelievable, for real. 3-0, when I saw Norway was up 3-0, I thought it was over. I thought it was going to be another Denmark-Kazakhstan game. And to see them rally back and then take them into overtime, in the overtime period, there was, I think it was in the last minute, both goalies had two unbelievable saves, like extremely unbelievable. And then it went into a shootout, and, you know, they did their best. They got one goal, I think it was 2-1 in the end, in the shootouts. And they actually, we talked about Kane Nielsen yesterday. They let him take the last shot. I was a little surprised about that because he's a younger player and it's his first year here. And I was hoping he was going to have a little bit of birthday magic because we forgot it was his birthday yesterday. So happy belated.
We didn't forget. We didn't realize.
We didn't realize. Yeah, we didn't even know it was his birthday. We had no idea when his birthday was. Yeah, but he had the game on a stick and it just didn't work out in their favor. But it was still a really great game overall.
Yeah, and we know it's not, it is about winning. Obviously, everybody, that's why we play every single time. But big picture, it's about getting to 3 or 4 points. However you get there, it doesn't really matter. If you chip away 4 overtime losses, who cares? You're 4 points and you're staying up. With relegation this year looming out there for the teams toward the bottom of the groups, every point counts. So to be down that much and come back, that is a huge point gained. And maybe 1 point lost by Norway, who do a really good job of always kind of winning the game they have to win to stay up. So they won't be happy about giving that up. A good battle back by Great Britain. They're hard to not root for.
Mm-hmm. They talked about it after the game, what they were talked about in the locker room between periods. Listen to this from Brett Perlini.
We said after the second period, we went into the dressing room and said, let's just start with one and see what happens. And we're a team like that. We get one and we feed off it. And I think we had so much energy in those last 7-8 minutes. And we just fed off each other. We can take a lot from this game. You know, being down 3 and fighting back, you know, in this kind of tournament is huge for us. I think we're just going to take that momentum going forward and keep pushing.
They indeed got one and fed off of it, to say the least.
Yeah.
But we say that all the time, don't we, Reagan, when we're down 3-0. Let's just get one first 5 minutes, see what happens. You say it all the time. It doesn't usually happen, but good for them to keep believing, keep fighting, and to find the offense. That's probably the biggest thing for them to feel good about.
Oh, definitely.
Meanwhile, second game here in Tampere, USA versus Austria. We already mentioned it, our second overtime game of the day. Just a few hours after the shootout between Norway and Great Britain, Austria was first to score, and it wasn't until the Americans were down 2-0 that they scored their first of the game. Reagan, were you nervous for a bit?
I was extremely nervous, even though I'm not really rooting for anyone. No, I'm just kidding. Being from the USA, I've just watched them over the years, and I don't think that they're actually playing to their potential right now. So it's just the chemistry. It's not there yet. Like in the chemistry that they've had on their other teams, they're not really bringing that to this environment right now. So I think the slow starts are hurting them, and they need to come flying out of the gate just a little bit faster, because if they want to beat Finland tonight or in any other game, it's going to be a real tough match. But I want to give kudos to Austria because they did play very, very well. And with the young talent that they have, they're very fearless and they don't care who the opposing team is. They're going to come out flying either way.
You know what it was to me, though, for the Austrians and the Americans in that game was, I think, 17 seconds after Austria made it 2-0. And you're like, okay, they can play with this lead, get a little comfortable. That Kiefer Bellows, that little bank shot from behind the net, that got America re-engaged the game. Like, they're just down 1 minute more possible. And I don't know how many more Hughes brothers are coming along, but uncle already. Like, how many good kids can you have? Quinn, crazy good. Jack Hughes, first of all. Luke Hughes scores the overtime winner. I'm like, who's 43 going to? Oh, of course. It's Luke Hughes. Of course. He's another Hughes brother. Those guys are just incredible. What a talented family of players for USA Hockey. And another young guy out there in overtime, fearlessly taking a breakaway, finishing the game. That was well done.
And he talked about that post-game. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was just Ram and, you know, we won the battle, and then I just jumped up and, you know, kind of stole it from Ferry, I think, and just went in and, you know, saw low glove, so just shot for it.
And guys, even though Austria did not win this game, they are coming out of this game with a point. Great Britain as well. Is it too soon to look at the standings and say, all right, they have their point early on? Can we maybe shy away from the word relegation? Or if we take a look at them and take a look at Latvia, who faced the USA and Finland in their first two games, and say, all right, Great Britain still has to face both of them. Austria still has to face Finland. This is no end game for anyone so far.
I think anything can happen at any time. So you can't let up. It's way too early in the tournament to let up. There's still so many games to be played. And if you do take your foot off the gas pedal, it's not going to be good for you. So I think that they still need to get a few more points to feel comfortable.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to criticize Latvia, say, well, they haven't won yet, given their opponents. And you say, well, they're a point behind. No, it's going to come down between those three teams. You likely would think that Latvia has the leg up. It probably comes down to the game between Austria and Great Britain themselves when they play against each other. And whoever wins that game, however they win that game, likely the winner stays up, the loser goes down. And they know that, but they'd like to, you know, if you can find ways, maybe make it so you can get a tie there or an overtime win, and it can help you get through. But I'm not ready to write off Latvia or Kazakhstan for that matter just yet.
Are you ready to write off Italy? Because they gave you a surprising start to their game against Canada yesterday.
Well, I think it's a 12 noon local start. And for Team Canada, that even though they've been here for a week or so, that the body clock is still getting adjusted. That's like 5 a.m. or 3 a.m. depending on where in North America they're coming from. And they played like it was 5 a.m. Like Canada was sleepy. You know, just the intensity required to play against anybody wasn't there. And Italy took advantage. They scored the first goal. They were making plays. They were getting up ice. They weren't conceding much. And they pushed for about a period. And then Canada, I imagine, in between periods, had a little chat, said, okay, we got to wake up here. We got to play a little bit more seriously, bring a little bit more effort, intensity. And they played accordingly. So it was a lesson learned, I think, for Canada to kind of respect the moment, the opposition, every single game. And maybe the good part for Canada is Matt Barzal played his first game.
It didn't look as if he just got off a flight halfway around the world.
I don't know when he arrived, but it looked like it was a month ago. He was flying around out there. He's on a smaller ice surface. He's impossible to cover. Impossible, because he's such a great skater. Give him an extra, you know, 7-8 feet of width, and he's a nightmare for anybody. And I thought between him and Kent Johnson and Drake Batherson were a line, very offensive line, but him and Kent Johnson, Reagan, I don't know if you remember, have ever had teammates that almost play as a forward line. It's like those two guys play together and there's a third guy. That's what it was like for Johnson and Barzal. Like they were having a little two-man game, passing back and forth, giving goes, having fun. Like they were the Sedins out there. Instant chemistry, which is a good thing for Canada.
And I have a question for you, Mike. So you've definitely been in a game where you've lost by quite a margin, the same as Italy. How do you stay in that game mentally? Because for me, it's pretty tough.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if I was good at it. Like once the game gets away from you, especially, you know, if you're playing an NHL regular season, it's 1 of 82. You're like, oh God, let's just get this over with. Like that's kind of the mentality you have. And then you work about being positive the next day. But trying to grind through games that are out of your control or that you're overmatched in, it's very difficult. And it is one of the traits that some of the teams in this tournament do a really great job of. And I think maybe it comes with experience and expectation that they know sometimes the games are going to be tough, but they keep working through things to make sure that they're in good spaces later in the tournament. But I wasn't great at it, Reagan. I was like, running time, let's get the heck out of here. Let's worry about the next one tomorrow. So Italy does a good job of that. We've seen that a few different times, guys hanging in there and still working regardless of the score.
Reagan, you've played overseas. Have you ever gotten off a flight and played within a matter of hours or within 24 hours? And what was that like?
Within 4 hours, I think, I stepped on the ice. It wasn't a game, it was a practice, but it was my first pro practice in Sweden. So I kind of had to show up and show out a little bit. Yeah, that was really tough. I was exhausted because it was a 10-hour flight. And then I think of my time, I was in maybe, it should have been like 3 in the morning. Yeah, it's tough. It is really tough when you do that.
That happened to me. 04 lockout. I was heading over to Sweden to play. I hadn't played the whole previous year because I'd had shoulder surgery. So I had not played for about 15 months, flew overnight and played that day that I arrived. It's like I'd never played hockey before. I honestly, maybe one of the, I can imagine that the Håkan Lubb was the GM of the team in Färjestad. He was probably thinking, what the hell is, like, what is this guy? This is not the person I signed. I was so bad. So full respect to whenever Matt Barzal arrived and however jet lagged he might be, because it was like I'd never played the game. It was a foreign sport to me. 100%.
Bambi on ice.
And to all the players who are arriving, getting off flights and doing that, because, you know, we think it's bad when we get a couple hours of sleep a night and get up for these podcast recordings. It's nothing compared to what they're doing. And Mike, quickly, France yesterday, their first important big win of the tournament.
Yeah, it was a good game. I think both teams realized that, you know, that was a game they were looking to win, and France battled back. It was a battle between big, physical, grinding Kazakhstan, smaller, speedy, pace, tempo France, and kind of which team got to play their style. Not surprising, I guess, when France needs goals. Alexandre Texier was involved in both in a 2-1 game. He is their best talented NHL player available to them. But it was a huge game. And they played really well in the third period till about the last 3-4 minutes. Then things got a little crazy at the end. Kazakhstan pushing all kinds of chances. But full credit to France. That is a massive win for France to pick up the full 2 points. And Buse in net was rock solid as well. So a big win for them.
Over here in Tampere, Czechia versus Sweden. Sweden needed a big second period to take control of the game and win 5-3. What did they do, Reagan, that helped them take over during the second period?
Well, momentum was definitely going back and forth, but it was blocking shots. I really do think that helps so much, because when they blocked that first shot, it ended up on an odd man rush, and then they scored their first goal off of that, or their second goal, whatever it was. They kept doing that all time. And then as they got more and more out of their zone and, you know, in these odd man positions, they are just so skilled once they get in front of the net. I think one of the goals that I saw, he sauced it top shelf. It wasn't even like a real shot. It was like a sauce over the shoulder of the goalie. And so I thought that was unreal. But Czechia definitely had an unreal save too. There was it was literally twinkling to the goal line, and then one of the defenders came in from behind and threw it underneath, but Sweden was super hungry in front of the net, so that was why they were able to score so many goals.
Meanwhile, over in Helsinki, Mike, Switzerland giving Denmark a taste of their own medicine, winning 6-0. You said yesterday this was going to be a test for Denmark, their first big win over Kazakhstan. It didn't seem as if they passed the test.
They failed miserably. It's like Reagan in grade 11 math. Not good at
4.0
all.
GPA. Give me a break.
Oh, 4.0.
Oh, snap. Oh, excuse me. Just saying. But yeah, you're right. It was difficult. Switzerland is a good team. They are as good as any team that I've seen, as good as Canada in this group. They play fantastic. Power play was rock solid. 3 power play goals, and they scored different ways in the power play, which I like. Like, sometimes it's from up top on point shots. Sometimes it's play goal line extended. Sometimes it's from behind the net. The fact that they can attack from different spots on the ice is a good sign. And so it was a pretty comprehensive win. It was a physical game. It was fast, edgy. But maybe most importantly, what was neat to me, in a tight tournament where Denmark had only played one game, Switzerland devised an entire game plan around Nick Ehlers. And like, when Nick Ehlers would wind up to get the puck, they would always send a guy with him and not let him skate up the ice to the puck, especially on the power play where Nick gets the puck in the zone anytime he wants. They just wouldn't let him touch it. It was really a unique bit of coaching to say, we're going to make you find another way to beat us, not that guy. And if you can, good for you, but we're not going to let it be Nick Ehlers. I thought it was a good job by Patrick Fisher and his group to apply the lessons learned. That was a good one. But Reagan, this is my question for you. I couldn't quite understand what Heinz Ehlers was doing. So it's 5-0 after 2 periods. And he changed his goalie for the third period. He put back in Dom, who's his usual starter, for the third period of a 5-0 game. And I'm like, why would you do that? The game's gone. So, like, why would you risk putting in your starter cold in a 5-0 game? I didn't quite get it. Can you help me out?
That is definitely weird. I've never heard of that. It's always the opposite way. You would put in the not starter in the third period, if you're
that I get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put the backup in there, get him peppered, rest the starter. That I get. Or if it's 2-0 and you're trying to salvage the game and the backup's not playing well, I get that. But I didn't quite get a 5-0 goalie shift. And Dom got scored on once in the third period. He was fine. But they're like, I don't know. He's 35 years old. He doesn't need any experience. He's seen everything. He's not going to learn anything. So that one was a bit of a head scratcher for me.
Yeah, me too.
And we have some big games coming up today. Ranja Savolainen joining us now. And that could only mean one thing. Finland is playing tonight, guys, and they're meeting the USA at 8:20 local time. Ranja, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Looking forward to talk with you guys. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Just trying to catch up on sleep.
Well, Ranja, before we get into tonight's game, you played against the U.S. as a Finnish national team player. Tell us about your experience facing their women's team.
Oh, wow. They're super good. It's always tough games. Like, they have so much experience in the team and so much talented players. So for me, it's always tough games. I do love to play those games because you always have to be on the top to make sure you have a good battle and you have the chance to win. So yeah, they're super good.
What does it mean for Finland to be facing the United States on home soil in a game like this?
Well, it means a lot for sure. You kind of have that seventh player on ice all the time. Like, the fans are screaming and cheering. So it means a lot. You always get, but like, you always have that extra power all the time. And well, I think both teams need to play better if you look back to the last games. But I think the U.S. want to destroy the party the Finnish players gonna have, or the fans. So yeah, it's always important to have that home soil as a player. I know it gives a little extra power.
Yeah, Ranja, you're right. If you're America, like, you're like, let's ruin the night of everybody. Like, let's just send everyone home angry.
You're the bad guy from listening to fans from other countries around Nokia.
Yeah, you love it. You love playing the villain and being the bad guy. But you almost, for Finland and being at home and seeing how passionate the fans are here, so you almost have to be careful not to be too emotional to start a game like this?
Yeah, for sure. It can sometimes be like overloaded. Mm. Then everything goes not as planned, but I know their players, they should know how to play when it's a lot of fans and fans cheering on you, but you never know.
Well, if everything were to go as planned, what is it that you think the Finnish team needs to do tonight to improve on their game against Latvia to help them beat the US?
Well, I just think they need to have a better start. They need to, but just play simple. It's going to be so different game today, for sure, for both teams. I think they need to play as they play against the Norway. Everything looked like they had control about everything. And then last game, I don't know what they did, but they still found their way to win. So I think that was good. And that's their power all the time.
Reagan, what does the U.S. need to do, as we said, to ruin this party for pretty much 15 other teams?
Well, I think Finland is way more cohesive than USA. So if USA wants to come out on top, they also need to start out at the very beginning, just like Ranja said about Finland, because they have not been coming out of the gate as fast as they should have. And it's going to come down to really hard work at the end, because that's what USA says that they're made up of, is hard work. But I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, and I would imagine the power play will be good, will need to be important for the Americans, because Finland is so organized defensively. They're so annoying to play against. Like, they're so annoying because they're never out of position. They're so physically strong. It's hard to create anything 5-on-5. So you have to be good on your power play, because you're not going to get many looks or many goals at 5-on-5.
Should we do some predictions? We didn't do any yesterday. I feel like this is the game that we should do some predictions for.
Feels like I'll be the tiebreaker. So you go ahead, Ranja, you first. What's going to be the score in the USA-Finland game?
I say 4-2 to Finland.
I'm going to go with 3-2 Finland.
Oh, Reagan, you're going with 3-2 Finland. Yes. You are a true believer in your team, eh?
Oh, my goodness.
I like that.
I was going to say 4-2 empty net Finland as well. I think, you know, pretty little, 4-2, 4-1, something like that.
All right, guys, it is all recorded. We are going to visit this again tomorrow morning, just like we did with Slovakia and Germany. So who will be the winner? We'll have to wait and see. Rania, pleasure having you on with us this morning. Thank you for joining us, and enjoy the game tonight, because it is going to be quite the atmosphere. I know we're going to enjoy it over here in Tampere.
Oh, wait, are you going to be here? Rania?
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to come hang out with you.
Yes, perfect. I'm going to be there every day, so.
The excitement of meeting face-to-face. Not all of us have done that yet. We're still waiting for Mike to make his way over from Helsinki.
You guys have fun up there in Tampere. I'll always be down here by myself.
We'll send you pictures. Yeah. Rania, thank you. We'll see you face-to-face soon.
Yeah, we do. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, guys. One more big game tonight. Canada versus Slovakia. Mike, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, feels like the game's on Canada's stick. Right, if they play well, if they're engaged, intense, focused, they should be the better team. Canada's got that nice blend of skill and speed, a whole bunch of it throughout their lineup. But they're also pretty big. Like, they got some big guys. They're the biggest team in the tournament. And you think about Pierre-Luc Dubois, the way he can lean on guys, and Josh Anderson, the way he can lean on guys. And that's going to be a handful. So I would think Canada will take a lesson from yesterday's game in Italy, where they didn't play a full 60 minutes. They'll have to be better in this one, but I would expect them to be.
Yeah, I think Canada is also going to come out on top. Slovakia has been playing pretty well, but Canada, it's just their passing. They connect like no other team that I've seen here at this tournament so far. And also, you said that they're the biggest team here?
Yeah.
Quick side note. I thought Austria was the biggest because I stood beside them and I've never seen bigger guys in my life.
I thought I saw an average height and weight chart and Canada was the highest in both.
Wow. Okay. You guys must have some skewed data. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me.
Reagan, we need proof of this. If you stood next to someone that tall, I expect a picture showing the height differences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I stood next to Marco Antola and I was like, oh my
forget
gosh.
It.
Yeah.
He barely make it to his shoulders.
Yeah. I'm 5'6", he's 7 foot. And yeah. I just went like this right above it. I was like, I can't even reach the top of his head with my arm. So there's that. Yeah. Big guys.
He is big. That's for sure. And it's a big game for Slovakia. If they can get points out of here, they'll set themselves up pretty well for the quarterfinals.
Mike, he brought up the fantasy league in our Twitter spaces this morning. Have you checked your scores?
Let me just give a quick little rundown of gate update.
Right, here we
day
go.
Day three, okay? So in our fantasy league, the podcast league, yesterday, day three, the most points accumulated by anyone in our league was 26.
It was not.
Big Riga. Attaboy, Robert. Well done. According to the Latvians. I was third with 25. Ray Ray was fourth. With 23.
Ooh, coming back.
So Marav was one big, before the last.
Big day. Marav, you had a bit of a trickier evening. You had 9 points only on your day three. But really, this is a cumulative thing. It's not a day-by-day thing. So let's just go to total points so far. You'd be surprised to find out who's in first in the entire league.
And Reagan, do you want to guess? Drum roll, please.
No, I don't want to guess.
One guess.
No, I don't have
one.
Any. One.
No. Reagan.
So not Ray Ray is the answer. So somehow I found myself in first with 84. And then Ray Ray is in further down. I don't know what she like around 10th or something with 49. And Marav 43. You two are very close. So
what I will say is I just auto selected mine yesterday. I didn't even choose mine. And I got so many points.
All right,
what does
well,
that
Reagan,
tell
you?
You
and I need
that
to
I'm
step
bad
our game.
At fantasy hockey.
We have to step
okay
up our game
that.
And give Mike a fight.
That's
means. So we're going to consult after this.
Okay.
We should be able to add our two scores together because Mike's been in this game way longer. So that's only fair.
I have twice as much experience. So there it seems to make sense.
I don't know if it works that way. I don't know if I'm closer to Mike's age than yours, but I'm somewhere in the middle. So
yes. Well, I funny thing is I'm not exactly even sure how the points are allocated. So I just got to pick guys I think are going to score and leave it at that. So we'll see how it goes. It's all a bit of a guesswork game, but that's where we are after 3 days. It's a long way to go. And I think what I learned is I think you can only pick each player 3 times.
Three times per round.
All right. So
that's what I understood.
I didn't know that. I was like, what are these green buttons that are going to look like I'm using my usages? So I'll have to think about my strategy going forward with regards to that.
Well, for all of our listeners who still haven't done so, you can still create your teams. It's never too late. Go to fantasy.iihf.com, create your team, search for our league. That is the Totally Ice Hockey Show League. Join our league. There are plenty of other leagues to join. You can join several of them. You don't have to join just ours. You can compete with us to see who comes out on top. So don't forget to do that. Reagan, you have another episode of the Pregame Skate coming up today. So everyone, tune into the Pregame Skate 40 minutes before puck drop. Reagan will be with you. We'll be with you again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. local time, 8 a.m. CET on Twitter Spaces. Then you can find us here on the Totally Ice Hockey Show with everything you need to know from today's games, preview of tomorrow's games. We're going to have fun, guys.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Another good day. Canada's
we don't know anything besides fun.
Big game for America today. Big game. It'll be fun to watch.
Huge. Even though we're all rooting against them, apparently.
Are you rooting against them? Or
no,
are you
I'm just predicting
not sure
them.
They're going to win?
Her clinical analyst mind is accurately, appropriately predicting a Finnish win. It's a professional right there.
It is.
All right. Right, well, Mike. We'll be first thing tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about whether or not Reagan was correct. Mike also and Rania, all three of you picked Finland to win. So we'll check that out tomorrow morning. Have an awesome day, guys.
Have a good day.
See ya.